Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is December 6th, 2023. We are here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review. We had quite a few AEW scoops over the last week over on FightfulSelect.com. Just $5 a month gets you scoops before anybody else with the accuracy like nobody else. And context that you can only get by subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. You can ask questions over there. Whole lot of cool stuff. In addition to that, we have over 40 podcasts a month, many of which are hosted by the fellow that is on the show with me, Alex Pawlowski. Alex, how you doing?
Pretty well. It's about the one-year anniversary that I was described by somebody as a dude wrapped in Christmas lights, and that is my persona every December. You can just call me Santa Claus Tradamus because I predicted the exact thing that was going to happen at the end of the main event weeks ago, actually. And I'm very, very excited about that. So,
yeah, I believe last year somebody was trying to hold our journalistic standards to that of Sports Illustrated.
The Wall Street Journal. Even.
Okay. I was going to say, of whom we know Sports Illustrated now has AI writing some of their articles. Yeah. Yeah. And then somebody else replied, I think this is unfair. Sports Illustrated and Wall Street Journal have journalists all over the country, hundreds of them. Sean Ross Sapp has Will Washington and a guy wrapped in Christmas lights. And now I ain't even got Will Washington.
No, it's
they
true.
Took him from me too.
All you got is me.
So Merry Christmas, everyone. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe. That goes a long way. We are on podcast platforms everywhere. We are on your Spotify's. We are on Apple, all that good stuff. If you don't mind, leave us a nice review over there. It goes a really long way considering we are primarily a Twitter and YouTube platform. But If you want to get your question or statement read on the air, you can donate a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful, or you can head over to humperchats.com. That allows you to leave your question or statement during the show, before the show. If you want to leave a question tonight for Grapsody on Saturday afternoon, you can do that at humperchats.com. We would greatly appreciate if you guys did that. And you know what? If you want more Q&A, FightfulSelect.com is the place to be. Just $5 a month or $54 a year gets you all those podcasts. It gets you the Q&As. It gets you the exclusive stories. I do a Q&A there every week, either in text, live, or audio form. And Grapsody does one every other week as well. Thursday here on YouTube.com/Fightful, we have a very special show. I wrestled Chazza McKenzie this past Saturday at Black Label Pro. Anytime I do something sort of in a character sense, I like to do a show after that to kind of pull back the curtain completely, because that's a lot of what we do here is pulling back the curtain on other people. So I figure, you know what, might as well do it on our own stuff. The only way that I'm wrestling or doing anything like that is for a charitable cause. We've been raising money for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. NAMI.org is where you make donations. Let me know if you do so we can get that tally up. Last I heard, it was over $6,500 in conjunction with what we did on Saturday at Black Label Pro. We will be here Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern is the current plan. Myself and Chazza will go through some of the stuff behind the match and how it came together. Thank you to all of you who said very, very nice things and that donated as well. We greatly appreciate you guys for doing that. But we got AEW Dynamite to talk about. We had reported this morning on FightfulSelect.com that big scare of Bryan Danielson was all for naught, because he's working Rampage tonight at the tapings.
Yes,
there were some people concerned trolling Alex, because as it turns out, guy is good at his job.
Yeah. Weird, huh? Yeah. I don't know. Almost every match that he wrestled, when he came back in WWE, that first 6 months, he did a worked head injury in every single match he wrestled.
He would take a light drop kick off the apron and he'd hold his neck. He is the reason there is a rule right now that you can't fake seizures in AEW. Go figure. We also had news on Kyle O'Reilly. We broke a bunch of news about Bryan Danielson on the committee, the disciplinary committee, all kinds of stuff like that. Maddie Nice says, so Mercedes going back to WDB and WDB is in talks with WB. Well, I just want to make this clear. We have reported literally none of that. So that is speculation. Says the in-ring product of AEW is as good as ever. Why does everything feel like they're losing? I didn't feel like they were losing tonight. I thought tonight was a really good episode of Dynamite.
Yeah.
I think that the idea to put the Continental Classic and a pay-per-view in December was a very good idea from AEW because WWE has largely said, you know what, we're going to focus on the holiday tour and the televised product. And AEW can say, you know what, we'll throw everything we got at the wall right now.
Right.
I think they're doing a good job right now with at least the direction towards World's End.
Yeah, I think that they've got, as their women's champion, one of the absolute greatest characters in wrestling, modern wrestling memory. So that's great. And their secondary women's champion is hugely over and a very cool character with intrigue as well. They've got this whodunit or who's continuing to do it. Storyline surrounding their top champion with now a brand new top guy as a top suspect after tonight. That's great. You've got the C2 with all these cool burgeoning character arc stories going on. Like it's a really great time. I watch this product and I don't understand where the sky is falling stuff is coming from, except for the people who were like, hey, look at, there's nobody behind the hard cam at this. And like, yeah, that looks bad.
Yeah.
But the products that they're putting on TV, I think is excellent.
We got Moxley defeating Roosh in the Gold League. As Eloquent says, I thought this was an excellent episode. I did too. And they're bringing more episodes back next year, by the way. of course, just my luck. They are going to Toronto right before WrestleMania, so I won't be able to go to that. But they are going back March, April, May, and July. Yep. And I'm like, damn, what I want them to do, I want them to find a way to get a polarizing U.S. Canada talent. Like one that's cheered in Canada, booed in the U.S.
Oh,
if you're going back and forth that much, that's what I want. I want that pretty badly. But Jamal says, any updates on Thunder Rosa? She's been ready for quite a while. We reported like back 3 months ago she was ready. So I don't know why on earth they don't put her on the show. But to me, like, I understand cycling some people out. But when somebody's already missed over a year, go ahead and get them back on TV.
I wonder if the plan would be when she comes back, that is the feud for Toni Storm. And they want that. They want her to have a few defenses under her belt, a couple things. It feels like we'll talk about this later. Obviously, she's going to be doing Riho next. So then, like, when is it the point where, okay, now is the time? Maybe Thunder Rosa is the major feud heading into Revolution, and they don't want to bring her back and have her just like hang out and beat a couple of scrubs on Rampage. Like, they want her to be, when she comes back, that to feel like the momentous occasion it is. Otherwise, I agree with you. If that's not the plan, if the plan isn't some huge return leading immediately into a championship feud, then I say bring her back.
Moxley defeated Roosh. Moxley now has 9 points. Meet Norman says, hey, buddies, Mox Roosh gave me the meat sweats. Mox and Swerve, maybe NC-17. That's going to be a bloodbath. We'll talk more about Mox Swerve later. But Mox and Roosh, it's one of those matches where I think that AEW and Tony view Roosh on a different level as the fans right now, but still Roosh delivers in this situation because Mox likes it when guys hit him really hard. And as it turns out, Roosh likes hitting people really hard. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah. Also, like, they've done a really great job protecting Roosh in his two losses.
Yeah.
He took a nut shot from Jay White directly into the Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's a protected loss. And then he won his match versus Briscoe. And then tonight he faced Jon Moxley, who is could be considered the top guy in the company. And overall, since its beginning. And he didn't tap out. He fought as long as he could in the Bulldog choke and passed out. And when he woke up, he was angry the match was over. He still had more damage he wanted to deal to Jon Moxley. Like, that's as protected as two losses can possibly be in a tournament like this. So I'm very excited to see how the rest of the shakes out. But it certainly does look like next week, Mox and Swerve is a preview of the group finals, which would be amazing.
Let's talk about Swerve and Mark Briscoe, because that was a match of the night on a show that had some really good matches for me personally.
Yeah.
And I get a little emotional every time I see the TitanTron for Mark Briscoe that still has Jay's name on it. Mm-hmm. Swerve has 9 points, he's up right now. He's unbeaten in the tournament.
Right.
Mark Briscoe is mathematically eliminated from the tournament, but can still be involved. I think we knew that Mark Briscoe was going to not win here, but they did a really, really good job of making you go, okay, maybe this is the feel good. Maybe this is how he hangs on. Maybe this is how he stays involved. Mm-hmm. The crowd was all for this match. And as it went on, it was a little bit of swerve without, I think, it even being supposed to be one when they went 5 minutes remaining. And I go, oh my God, this might go to a draw. Like, they might have this one be the draw. How'd you feel about this match? I absolutely loved it, especially the finish.
I loved it because the one thing that is really hard to do, and it seems like Swerve might have a problem with, is when you try to out crazy Swerve, and Mark Briscoe is just the guy to do that in the ring. When he gets that crazy redneck kung fu just going through his blood, you can't keep him down. This was some really good stuff. He just kept coming at Swerve because as much of a brutal wrestler that Swerve can be, he's also He also likes to, you know, preen a little bit. And you know, he takes his time. He's got some really cool looking transitions from one move to another, but yes, those are studied and they're mostly almost like a dance move. There's no dance moves in Mark Briscoe. He just throws all of himself at you over and over again. And if you're trying to, like, I'm gonna move from this move to this move and I'm gonna do a moonwalk almost while I'm doing it, all of a sudden you got crazy toothless redneck jumping in your face and you don't have time to stop it. It's good, some really good stuff.
I love the step over into the German or the wheelbarrow suplex. Right, I thought that was really good. The suplex from the barricade that usually you see from like the first or second rope outside in was very, very good.
Very cool.
Swerve was just phenomenal. And he ended up winning this match. An incredible match. Crowd was all for it. On night two of a two-night situation. Yep. And the crowd was like, hell yeah. Last night, they got Omega and Ethan Page. They got Danielson and Andrade. Right. And here they are night two watching Mark Briscoe and Swerve in this tournament chanting, this is awesome. I thought they killed it. And as much as I love the in-ring stuff tonight, oh boy, I really love the outside-the-ring stuff tonight.
Yeah.
I feel like AEW has, and I don't know how I'll feel in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but it feels like their audience responds really well and their performers respond really well to setting stuff up backstage.
Yeah.
I don't feel as if they always need the in-ring promo presentation or the on-stage presentation. And there was a common criticism that I had years ago that a lot of times has been scaled back in pro wrestling. It's when you have a babyface go out in front of the crowd and air their grievances unprompted with a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues I always have with that is it comes off as whining. If you just send a baby face out there to be like, well, hey guys, I'm here to take up all of your time on this wrestling show by talking.
Yeah.
And I don't have an interviewer asking me any questions, but here's what I'm going to bitch about today.
Yeah.
Instead, what I like more is a Renee Paquette saying, why do you have this issue? Where have you been? What's been going on?
Right.
And that's what we saw more of tonight. And if you're going to take up somebody's time, it's not necessarily the live crowd. It's a camera backstage. And that's what John Moxley did.
Mm-hmm.
John Moxley was backstage talking and then Swerve approached him and they are wrestling next week at Winter is Coming. And this one is the one I think goes to a draw.
Yeah, it should.
I think this one goes to a draw and I can't wait for this match. This is a pay-per-view match.
Oh yeah.
For Winter is Coming.
As I said, Moxley has the most accolades of anybody in this company. It feels like literally years ago, he was supposed to just go on vacation. It has been years. He was supposed to go on vacation. Like, no, sorry. We need you to be the top guy again for a while. And he's just been great ever since. And he's had an amazing several year stretch here, and there's nobody hotter right now than Swerve in the company as a star, as a wrestler, and to put them face to face in this thing where I also loved their back and forth of Swerve being like, this is going to be great because you're not prepared for what I got, and Moxley's like, yeah, bring it, this will be fun. Like, there's just these two gladiators who just want to beat the hell out of each other. That's great. And yes, I firmly believe this should be, they haven't done a draw yet. I feel like there should be one in each bracket, but if this is the only one leading to them having, they should be tied atop the standings, like four victories and one draw against each other. And then they get a rematch to see who goes out of that thing. And there must be a winner in the finals of the group. That to me is really, really cool.
I could see it happening where Swerve and Moxley go to a draw and they take so much out of one another that they don't win their last match.
Could be.
And Jay White sneaks up and runs the table the rest of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
and is able to kind of steal that.
I don't want, like, if we're going to do a draw between Mox and Swerve, I want them to have the rematch in the finals. I mean, like, they may be doing what you're saying, but I would much rather have them run their perspective thing, except they can't beat each other. And then one of them has to beat the other one in order to get to the finals. And on the other side, if what might be happening is happening, that Eddie Kingston has to run the rest of the table. No spoilers here, because I haven't seen what happened on the taping yesterday. But if Eddie Kingston has to run the rest of the way and finally gets to that end, does he have his old buddy Moxley waiting for him? Or the unstoppable murder machine Swerve? Like, there's some really, really cool stuff there, a lot.
Alexis Cardoza says, AEW felt like AEW tonight. Love you, gents. Oh, we love you too, and it did. Orion Ben says, Dynamite's first hour might be my top three for 2023. It was a hell of a first hour. It really, really was. Reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. Dante says they should cancel whatever deal with Rick to get those ugly-ass logos off the big screen. Well, you know what? We have a much better deal for you. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Adelia says, great show tonight. Can't wait till we get Mox and Swerve next week. Hoping for a draw, to be honest. I'm with you, Adelia. I think that's the right course of action for what we're seeing. Tom Lavalley says, I always love when someone pops right up after being choked out and are confused. I've seen it happen in real life. It's legit. Yeah. So one of my teammates, I'll never forget, it's a lot different than being knocked out. There's a lot of people that don't know necessarily the difference. As best I know, there's no long-term brain damage or anything from just quickly going out and coming back. Now, if somebody strangles you, that's a little bit of a different story. But I remember one of my catch teammates was like, I want to know how far I can go before being choked out. And we did. He went out. He woke up and he said, I'm flying through space. That's exactly. And we're like, no, you just got choked out. That's about the extent of it. There have been, you know, situations where fighters have turned around and wrestled referees and stuff like that from knockouts or chokeouts, any of that stuff. Adam Weller says, Tony fought for his life on the USD to British Crown conversion tonight. Those not using Nord are missing out rogue AEW dark commentaries during the break. Yeah, that's how I'm able to watch it. That's how I'm able to, if there's anything during the commercial that needs to be seen, I'm able to watch because of NordVPN.com/Fightful. Mm-hmm. We got Roderick Strong in the Kingdom interviewing with Renee, and they they are abandoning the wheelchair now. He says he's not going to let him hold him back any longer. How'd you feel about this, Alex?
He dramatically moves a little the foot pads out of the way and stands up and kicks it behind him, you know, like it's a very dramatic scene in a movie. I think it's time to move beyond all of the shtick. It had its place. I think there was diminishing returns on a lot of these little on the skits. And now that there is no more Adam Cole skits and it's just him yelling different names like Renee and Samoa Joe. I think that it's time to get back to, I miss
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Roderick Strong just breaking fools' backs in the ring. I mean, this was fun, and now I feel like I've seen what I need to see from this, and now we can move on to something else. I think this, if what is becoming more and more apparent to me in the identities of the people who are involved in this devil thing, then yeah, we should probably get away from the kid game stuff so we can start seriousing up some people.
Roderick Strong will face Adam Hangman Page next week at Winter is Coming, but there is some Roddy Strong contingent news that we reported on FightfulSelect.com today. Best $5 in the business. Kyle O'Reilly, of whom once looked like he may never wrestle again, as recently as this summer, I was told by somebody that they didn't think he was going to be able to wrestle again.
Yeah.
As it turns out, he is also neck strong and has been backstage at several recent AEW shows. This is important because from what I was told and what we reported on Fightful Select is that whoever they plan to be under those masks has been under those masks.
Yeah.
But also, Adam Cole's not there every week, but neither is the devil. The devil hasn't been there every week.
Nope.
But also, we're pretty sure Wardlow's one of these fellas.
Mm-hmm.
But also, counting the numbers, Strong, Taven, Bennett, possibly O'Reilly, Wardlow, Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, there's a lot here.
There. I'm not sure exactly who was tweeted it out, but they got some video of one of the masked guys moving around.
Okay,
seemed very, very Kyle O'Reilly movements. You know, like he's got a little bit of herky jerky to him when he moves around. It did seem a little Kyle O'Reilly-ish. I really hope he's part of the reveal because that will be really sweet if it is.
One of my favorite workers in the world.
Yeah. Let's
talk about Adam Hangman Page, because this was that shit I like is what this was. Renee says, how you been? Where you been? Why haven't you been here? And he said, well, Renee, I got my head smashed with a cinder block and choked unconscious. So I have not been able to fly.
No.
Woo. And then he brings up Swerve and he's like, you know what? I don't care what it took to beat me. I don't care that it took Prince Nana and Cage. You did it. That is such a baby face thing to do, Alex. No excuses. He knew the rules. He could have had his buddies out there too.
Sure. Absolutely.
No excuse. But he says, we are bound together forever. This will not end. And what I respect about this is, to the best of my knowledge, this was supposed to continue. But they looked at that match and they go, how?
Yeah,
how?
What could possibly be the next thing for that? So I love this because also he says, I know what you want more than anything in the world. He doesn't say what it is. We can assume that's the AW world title. And I will do whatever I can to stop you from achieving it. that seems to me like there's the possibility of the third match may not match it in terms of how crazy the match is, but how important the match is. If, let's say, it's a number one contendership spot is on the line, or even this, if it's the champion, whoever that may be, MJF and Samoa Joe, in a triple threat versus Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. And Hangman doesn't give a damn what else happens in that match, but Swerve is not becoming the champion. Like, there could be some interesting stuff there. I don't know. But I love the idea of, we know we can't match the intensity of the match with the blood drinking and the cinder block smashing. We can't match that, but we might be able to top it in terms of how much the match means to both guys. That, to me, I think is a kind of a cool way of getting around it.
So MJF emerges, and they argue about one of the last times that they were in the ring together. Hangman goes, yeah, I eliminated you from a battle royal. And MJF goes, no, it was me beating you for the Dynamite Diamond Ring.
Yep.
And Hangman goes, oh, well, I was so distraught about that that I went and became the world champion. And MJF said, yeah, but not for a year you didn't.
Yeah.
Ooh! Each one of these guys had an answer for the other. And even from like the initial barbs at each other, Hangman's like, listen, I don't have 30 minutes to sit here and listen to you yell at me like you do everybody else. Of which MJF says, well, the reason I got to go out there for a half an hour is because you put him to sleep.
Yeah, warm the crowd back up. Yeah, some good
stuff. They each had one for the other, for the other, for the other. Mm-hmm. This was just like, this was a slugfest verbally between a guy who is just phenomenal at it, MJF, and a guy who is so just almost unmatched as far as likability goes. Like Hangman Page is like the AEW mascot in so many ways. And he is like their guy. He's such an AEW guy. Even people that are like, you know, real weird about this shit still find a way to like Hangman. Cause he's business. I thought this ruled before we even got to the Joe stuff.
This was awesome. Him, but like, you know, maybe you're the devil.
Yes, me, I forgot about that. What, I completely forgot about that, Alex.
Like MJF saying, maybe you're the devil. Me, you're the most manipulative guy in the world. Obviously, you're the one who's the devil, just making everybody believe you're attacking yourself or having your guys attack you. Also, there's no way you go this long without other dudes like having your back. Like, you're the devil, blah blah blah, and they back and forth about this, and that's that. Now it by the end of the evening, actually by about 20 minutes later, we have another main suspect, at least they want us to believe, who could be the devil, and that's really excellent storytelling. In what it feels like very far, there are some old, really great like murder mystery movies from like the 70s and 80s where you'll watch it and you'll be like, this is the guy. That's the guy right there. Obviously, this is the murderer. And 2/3 of the way through the movie, they'll throw another suspect in there that goes, well, hey, now, wait a minute. This guy doesn't have an alibi, and they found the murder weapon at his house and all this stuff. And it all maybe will become a red herring. But they give you an extra suspect near the end to just throw you off the scent. I love them doing that. I think it's great.
I think it's great, too. I would do it for everybody. I'd do it for Don Callis and his family. I would do it for the goddamn workhorseman. I would do it for anybody and everybody.
Because who wouldn't want to see MJF topple?
And yeah, and I like people pointing the fingers at other people. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but when Austin was going around kicking everybody's ass, thinking like who ran me over, Shane McMahon was like, oh, here's footage of Steve Blackman running over a guy last year. It had to be him. He's a serial runner over guy. Yeah. Like that's what he does.
He just can't stop vehicular manslaughtering people. Yes, he just can't stop it. He's addicted.
Shot Kid says, can we talk about Renee's reactions during Hanger and MJF's back and forth? Gold. Renee is so good at this. She's wrestling so good at it, is so fortunate to have Renee Paquette.
Yep.
And then Samoa Joe rolls up. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, you're about to get your ass kicked by this guy.
I love it. He steps in front of Hangman and like, hey, he's my property now. Like, yeah. Back off. And then he turns, wheels around on Max. What are you doing? We have a very important match later. That's great. Good stuff. I love Samoa Joe being the guy who's basically protecting the guy he's bodyguarding. He's a piece of crap and he knows it and deserves to get his ass kicked. But hey, it's still my job to protect him from getting his ass kicked. Ah, it's good stuff.
So MJF and Samoa Joe were supposed to face the Devil's Goons, but Samoa Joe comes out. He's surrounded by them. Mm-hmm. And MJF is laid out backstage with a beer bottle after accusing Hangman. Now, this, I like this for many reasons, Alex.
Yep.
Samoa Joe is going to feel like he didn't do his part. MJF doesn't have to wrestle, and we know he's got a bunch of injuries right now. Hangman, that little hint.
Right.
Love it.
Well, I love that. Also, MJF now hates Hangman. If he was going to frame somebody else right now for being the Devil, that if MJF is behind the whole thing, as is still a possibility, wouldn't he want to like throw some attention toward Hangman, a guy who pissed him off today? So he breaks a beer bottle and lays down next to it. Like, that's a possibility. It could be whoever is the Devil is trying to frame Hangman for this attack, throw the self sent off of them, or it could be Hangman is actually behind it. All of that is great. But the thing that I loved about this the most is that the thing that I was struggling with the most coming into this match, like, how do you agent this match so Samoa Joe and MJF aren't constantly trying to rip the masks off whoever they're wrestling? Because you have to find out who's behind it. We have to find out who these guys are. And if they're wrestling with just like this Lycra over their face, you're got to be trying to pull that off the entire match. They would have to. As human beings, they want to know who they're fighting. But you can't do that because then the match becomes unworkable. So they just decided not to have the match, which solves not only that problem that I had, but the much more real problem of MJF's got a torn labrum and trying to figure out how we're going to get to World's End with him wrestling other matches is probably a tough decision.
Do the tag belts get dropped before the Devil reveal? I think so, because I think it's Adam Cole. That's who I think it is. It's Adam Cole and company.
Yeah. Me too.
Rovan says Swerve and Briscoe is like Spidey versus Wolverine. I love that comparison. Me too. Really love that comparison. Triple H's Sledgehammer says Will Wash banned from Collision because of BTE stents. I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm sorry, my friend. Mariah May interview. She says that she is going to study Toni Storm and she'll make her debut soon. Then we get Ben Mankiewicz introducing Toni Storm. Now, I know that a significant, significant percentage of the audience has no clue who this is or why, but it still worked because then when they had the intro, the crowd popped big. Yeah. So I thought this was great. This was a really fun integration. And I saw somebody say, you know, it would be perfect if Ted Turner, you know, was of sound mind, because this would result in him colorizing her.
Ah, nice. That would be very funny. But like, it would be like really washed out colors, like when they used to colorize things back in the day. I just wanted them to, for one night only, refer to it as Toni Classic Movies.
Yes.
TCM, have it be Toni Classic Movies. But Mankiewicz did a great job. You could tell like he fully understood the assignment and nailed it. I thought this was great. I think that even if you don't watch the channel, the style of this introduction of an old film has permeated pop culture enough through like parodies on Saturday Night Live and stuff like that, that you absolutely know what kind of thing this is, even if you never watch the channel. And a lot of people don't watch the channel, but they have like grandparents who do or whatever. Like I thought this absolutely nailed it. And it made Toni seem like even more of a star.
Toni Storm then defeated Sky Blue. I thought this was a good showing for Sky Blue. A nice title match to put on here as well. Riho returned at the end of this. Tom LaValle says, give me Riho next week versus Mariah May. Do you think that Mariah May should lose her first match, because I mean, that would kind of show that she's got something to learn, and Toni Storm can be like, don't worry, kid, just follow me type of thing.
I kind of thought they were going to do a thing tonight, because Sky Blue is, let's be honest, Sky Blue is Sky Blue. She gets a lot of these matches, but then she doesn't win them. And she didn't win this match versus Toni Storm. So I thought they were going to do a thing of like, Toni Storm, Miss Storm, you have to go on. It's like, I couldn't possibly. I've got a terrible migraine and my feet ache. My understudy will go on instead. And then Mariah May comes out to wrestle her first match, but as Toni Storm, and does all of Toni Storm's moves and everything. But she's not defending the title, heavens forfend. But this, if you beat my understudy, then you'll have a title match against me. That kind of a thing. And maybe that's what they could run that back. I don't know if you have Mariah May debut and lose to Rio, but if she like wins via like Luther helping her cheat or something, to like that kind of a thing. I think that's probably where the story, the All About Eve thing, if RJ City has his way, goes, so that all of a sudden we get Toni Storm getting very jealous of Mariah May, her understudy, the other girl in the studio. I think that could be a lot of fun.
I do too. The match itself, Toni Storm, Sky Blue, thought it was solid, thought it was a good.
Yes.
Sky Blue, again, they put her in an awful lot of title matches and top contender matches where she hasn't emerged victorious. But I mean, we're seeing that progression. She's still early in her career. And this is a woman who largely got some of her opportunities because they booked her in Chicago and the crowd was like, hell yeah, Sky Blue's here. And then they're like, hey, by the way, you want to be in the Battle Royal? She has made the most out of so many different opportunities.
Right. And I thought she was, this was a really good match for her, one of her best. And I like that they're like, okay, in the match with Hikaru Shida, Toni Storm had to resort to like putting a silver plate in her trunks and hitting the hip attack that way to get the victory. There wasn't as much of that here. There was a lot of like showmanship type of stuff. But the only one thing that they added that I loved, honestly, was her getting on Luther's shoulders and when Sky Blue was on the apron. And then, Luther, go! And then he ran, and then she flung her off by the hair. That was a lot of fun, too. There's some really good stuff they can do with this.
Cadillac Carson says, I love that Toni Storm is no longer from New Zealand. I think they said she's from Studio 7. Amazing. Yes. That was good stuff. Shazza got announced as from St. Louis, Australia. Before our match.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of, Mr. Burt Wayne says, Sean, what's up? Gorilla Press in the house. How you feeling? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very, very good right now. I was a little loopy today, but you know what? Considering I went through a table the other day, I'm doing all right. You know what? There's something that really helped me.
Oh, yeah.
Helix. HelixSleep.com/Fightful has changed my life. A few years ago, I was sleeping on a slab of memory foam. I wanted to try something different. I didn't want to go to a mattress store, especially during that period in time where, you know, stuff was getting passed around. I wanted Helix Sleep, so I checked out HelixSleep.com. Now HelixSleep.com/Fightful took their quick quiz, got matched up to their Dusk Lux model. It made my night's sleep much more versatile. I'll tell you what I love. 100-night risk-free trial. If for some reason you don't like it, you get your refund, they'll come pick it up as well. They have 14 unique models, and at helixsleep.com/Fightful, they're offering up to $350 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Fightful. They support military, first responders, teachers, and students by giving them a special discount on the site as well. You should never have to compromise on your comfort. And Helix has a lot of options for you. Ones for plus-size sleepers. Ones with cooling technology. All kinds of stuff at helixsleep.com/Fightful. Over 12,000 five-star reviews. Check it out, guys. helixsleep.com/Fightful. A lot of stuff added to Rampage. Daniel Garcia versus Brian Danielson in the Blue League. Really wish this was on Dynamite or Collision.
Me too. Really wish I was hoping... in my little personal, how I would do the collision, the C2 thing was to have that be the last match for Danielson, and Garcia's done. He hasn't won any of his matches, but the last match he's got against is against Danielson. And somehow it shakes out that all Danielson has to do is beat Garcia, and he's into the finals of the group. But all Garcia's got to do is not get beaten. And he lasts all the way and forces Danielson into a draw, which then makes Danielson respect Garcia. Danielson doesn't get to the finals of the group. They get like Brody King versus Eddie Kingston or something. Yeah. But Danielson then takes Garcia under his wing, and Garcia joins the Blackpool Combat Club. And Danielson says, "This guy's mine. Nobody messes with him," which pisses off Wheeler Yuta like crazy. Like, I really wanted that. We'll see what this does, what this match on Friday does, but I'm very excited to see what the rest of the tournament holds for Garcia.
We also have Abaddon and Trish Adora. I just want to see Trish Adora on TV more. We have an interview that we dropped from Kate, actually, with Trish Adora this week here on YouTube.com/Fightful. Hobbs and Takeshita against Daniels and Seidel. I wonder who we're going to win that one.
Me too.
Then Orange Cassidy and Danhausen appear for Collision. Claudio versus Eddie 3, Danielson versus Andrade, Omega versus Ethan Page, Mercedes versus Willow. That sounds like a fun wrestling show.
It does. It does.
It's going to be a good one. Next week, Swerve versus Moxley, Jay White versus Mark Briscoe, Roosh versus Lethal, Page versus Strong. Now, I think Roosh versus Lethal should be a collision match or a collision or a rampage match. But hey, I would much rather have Danielson versus Garcia on Dynamite than Roosh and Lethal. But Page versus Roddy Strong, Samoa Joe speaks, and the Von Erichs return to Texas. Listen, all I want is the Von Erichs out there. And Christian just comes to the ring. And he's just... He doesn't even say anything. He's just teasing, holding the mic up to his mouth. And the whole crowd's just waiting. They're just waiting, Alex. Listen.
Yeah. And then what does he say?
I'm not talking about that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to speak for another adult male. I don't want to do that.
No. Yeah, why would you?
Listen, listen. Mm-hmm. Look at everybody feigning outrage. Look, everybody. Come on. This is the reaction. This is a reaction. And he goes, I heard about your, well, everybody. God damn.
Mm-hmm.
They would throw batteries at that man.
They would. They absolutely would. They would do that for sure.
Matthew Hook says the next week of cards. Wow, feeling restored. It is 100% the move to make.
I mean, it is.
It is the move to make.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what he'd have to do? He'd have to steal a line. Oh, he'd have to steal a line from Kevin. Kevin once said, I used to have, how many brothers was it? Three or four? I used to have three brothers. Now I'm not even a brother. Christian would need to say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
You're not going to like the Iron Claw, my friend.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not an uplifting story.
It isn't. When do you think we see Britt Baker back on TV, says Chris? I don't know if she's sidelined or what the deal might be, but I'll try to find out.
I wonder if they wanted to coincide with Jamie Hayter back. Like, it kind of like a thing of, because Jamie and Britt were doing stuff together when Jamie went out, maybe it kind of like, okay, now we're reigniting all of this. They're back. They're together. They're a force. Maybe that's it.
I posted some info in the private chat for you for some context that I will not share.
All right.
Mr. Burt Wayne says, F that F, perfect Helix segue. Well, you know what? This is not a good segue. Switchblade beat Jay Lethal. We knew it was going to happen. Jay Lethal is effectively eliminated. Somebody said, we saw her tonight. She's not the devil. But Jay White, Jay Lethal, Jay White's staying involved. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jay Lethal, when he was added to this, like, listen, all due respect to Jay Lethal. Mm-hmm. I think they could have put somebody else in there. I think the audience had Team Lethal, Dutt, Jarrett, exhaustion by that point. Like a Penta would have been really cool for this, or something like that.
Yeah, I think that they did a really good job of having Briscoe in there as the guy we cheer for, but we know we're probably going to get a lot of victories. And you have some guy like Roosh who might go 2-3. You know what I mean? He might not win any of his other, like a lot of his matches, but he'll always like come right down to the end. And Lethal just feels like a guy who's in there to eat losses, but not like, but not in a way that like makes us feel bad or, oh, maybe this'll be the match where Jay Lethal gets his victory. Like they do with Mark Briscoe. You know what I mean? I think a Penta thing, like you said, might have been a little bit of a better shout there.
Jay Lethal or Jay White gets the win. Von Erichs or Chris says, try to get Christian hurt by the fans. Listen, it's all about heat and promotion and buzz, and that would do it.
Well, I think if he does it, he's got to do it at the top of the ramp so that when they start throwing things, he has a very quick exit.
Yes. Triple H's Sledgehammer says, how about AEW advertising upcoming shows? We back. Yeah. I mean, I could see them setting up, by the way, a very quick match with like Nick Wayne, could return next week. Yeah. And it's the Von Erichs versus Nick Wayne and Christian. And then Christian immediately just leaves Nick Wayne to take the pin. But what we got was TNT Championship. Christian Cage defeated Adam Copeland, a white hot crowd for this match. They loved it. A really good match. And this is, like, I'll say this, for the ending of this match to happen, this is the match where it would have happened.
Right.
But also, I would have been completely satisfied with just not that element of it. Some cheating, fine. But I understand that they feel like they had to go there. Kaza says, Alex called the finish, great episode. Yeah. How did you feel about the finish? Because I loved the match.
Right. Absolutely I loved the match. I love the match. I think it was you have Copeland, who systematically took out Nick Wayne and then Switchosaurus, and now he doesn't have anybody who can help him, right? So you have to, the way that you do in throughout wrestling history, when you have a big match for the heel who normally has guys who cheat on his behalf throughout the whole match at ringside, but then the babyface systematically takes those guys out of the picture, and now it's just one-on-one. It's not actually one-on-one. And so the heel has to find somebody else, so somebody new to come in. It's the same thing that they did in Clash of the Castle with Roman and Drew. The Usos weren't even on the continent, but who is? Solo Sikoa, a new guy who joins the faction. That is a kind of a thing that has been done a lot of times. So I kind of thought they were going to do that. Personally, I would not have had Ms. Wayne, come down and waffle about it. I would have had her come down to the ring already knowing what she was going to do. Because to me, it was unforgivable. It should be to her unforgivable what Adam Copeland did to her son, trying to give him brain damage with a concerto. So she should have walked down to the ring, stood there, picked up the belt, looked once at Christian and then hit Copeland. No dithering, no waffling, no back and forth. Just make the decision and go. That's the only thing I would have changed about this. But I like it because Christian's not losing the title to Adam Copeland on regular TV. The problem, they get a rematch at World's End. Like, from there, who knows what happens? But I honestly thought this was a really cool use of that. It allows there to be now the patriarchy has a matriarch. There's a lot of extra things you can do here. They're really good stuff.
I would like to say, like, if they went to a cage match here, I think this would work out really well as well to keep the patriarchy and Mama Wayne out of things. I love this match. I love that they put it in Canada as the main event. Move right. Some tickets while you can.
Sure.
Do that. Hopefully by the time they're back around in Toronto with that Canadian tour, you got Edge and Christian teaming again, which is what I would like to see. Yeah. But I thought this match kicked ass. The crowd was hot for it. They were hot for it. Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. Christian hit just a phenomenal kill switch on Edge too. Just planted him. This is Christian's first win over Edge in a singles capacity in over 20 years.
Wow.
Only the second time out of like 8 times they faced each other. I think it's their first singles match since 2010.
Wow.
This was my favorite tag team. Like this, this was the team and the act that I enjoyed the most in the Attitude Era was Edge and Christian. I remember having Napster and Kazaa and downloading on MP3 their promos. Like, that's how much I love these guys. They were just so incredible. Just so, so good. I see people saying maybe a ladder match for the TNT belt. Listen, I would normally say, you know what? Probably not because of their ages. But then again, they are crazy.
They're both 50 years old and have big money contracts. And the last thing you want is for either of them to do something that they think they can do because in their heads they're 40, but they're actually 50. And then something goes wrong and they're out for an extended period of time. So I would say probably not. Sometimes you got to get in the way of these guys and just say, let's hope. Like, you have MJF, who's in the prime of his career, who gets a torn labrum at the same match he has a dislocated hip. Like, anything can happen. So maybe if you have long-term plans for this storyline, find a way to do it in a match where there are less possibilities for horrible bumps to happen.
I had someone pitch to me one time, and I actually liked it if they could make it, you know, like sort of a contained ladder match, like tables, ladders, and cages. But you would have to have those weapons already in the ring. You would have to do that. But, I mean, they've done that before. NXT pretty much did that. I think Cole and Gargano had that, you know, had that one like that. So I think that could be cool as well. J. Adam Bennett says, thanks for being good people. Well, thank you for the donation. We greatly appreciate you. We are largely publicly funded with the exception of some sponsors. We make almost nothing from clicks, contrary to what weirdos on Twitter might tell you. So we greatly appreciate that. Maddie Nice says, why doesn't Sanjay wrestle anymore? Sanjay tore his Achilles. Tore his Achilles years and years ago. And he decided when he came back that he would focus on the backstage aspects of things. He's done a couple of spots here and there, but he said that he doesn't feel like he can do it 100%, so he doesn't want to do it. Bizarro Big L says, a lot of talk from Nick Wayne and Brian Danielson on new members of their respective groups. For Nick, he wants his tag partner, Jordan Oliver. Well, Jordan Oliver is set to be in Europe for quite a while, which was a surprise to him and others, as Fightful Select reported, that AEW filed the East-West Connection trademark. As far as Brian, he thinks Agogo and Hook would fit well in BCC, Hook more so after a nice feud with Wheeler. Thoughts? They would really need to establish Agogo. They would really need to establish Agogo and get people emotionally involved in him. Hook, I think, would be. And I think you integrate Taz in a little bit.
Yeah.
And have Taz be like, you know what? Maybe it's good for you. Maybe it's not, type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that there could be some nice, nice involvement with Hook.
Yeah.
I think that could be really good.
Agreed.
Mr. Burt Wayne said, Sean, you said on X after your match with Shaz that you feel great and could do it again. I can arrange something. If you can go, catch death. He's always pushing for me to do this Akira match. And I've said that there are probably like less than 10 people I really, really want to work. And Akira is one of them because he came and trained with my catch wrestling coach years ago. Mm. We'll see about that. That'd be a different kind of in-ring shape with Akira because it wouldn't be a comedy match. But I definitely ain't doing light tubes or anything like that.
No.
But that's the beauty of Akira's work. He doesn't do that. I feel like Akira and I could get together once and then do a much different type of match than what Shaza and I did. But I'll talk more about that tomorrow, guys, because on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, Shaza is joining me. I don't know how long on the show she'll be there, but we're going to go behind the scenes on when this was actually supposed to start taking place, because it was supposed to start taking place over a year before it did. A lot of the...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Behind the scenes stuff, how the match almost got ruined about an hour before it happened. Yeah, a lot of neat little stories in there. We're going to show a few clips from the match as well. But again, thank you guys so much. Clips from that match have been viewed over 1 million times already. So thank you to everybody who has continued to donate to NAMI.org. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter X at Alex Sour Graps, on Fightful Select reviewing Raw with Miss Kate Fabe, Tuesdays reviewing NXT with Miss Kate Fabe right here with Kate Elizabeth. Friday we're going to get back to the Rampage watch along, watching Danielson and Garcia, which should be great, while talking about whatever the heck is happening on SmackDown. They're starting this new tournament that Kevin Owens is definitely going to win, and they're building the entire tournament around a worked hand injury. So that'll be fun. But on Saturday, there's NXT Deadline. So Kate and I will be reviewing that as well. So that should be a lot of fun. Plus, probably throw a collision review in there somewhere too. I mean, it's good stuff.
Hell yeah. Guys, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. We're going to continue to have some really, really great stories over there. Until next time, guys, we're out.